Father, I want to thank you for the privilege that's ours to have a place to meet and to share the truth in spite of what is outside and is soon coming to our very door. And I pray that your Spirit would calm every person in this sanctuary, and that all our minds and our hearts will be receptive as we continue this series on what is Armageddon. And Lord, use me in spite of me. I'm so unworthy. But to have the privilege of representing you is an honor, and I don't want to take it for granted. So may the Spirit speak through me, so that when we're done, we'll say that we heard Jesus and we saw Jesus. So blessed to this end, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Revelation, the 16th chapter, verse 12. We're going to read the sixth plague. Children, open your Bibles. And by the way, if you don't have a Bible, children, see me after church and I'll give you one. And I had a little boy come to me last week and he got a Bible. So Revelation, the 12th chapter. And we're going to look at verses 12 to 16. Do you have it? Okay. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to a place called in the Hebrew Armageddon. Now, folks, please remember, the whole purpose or point of this series is this. And don't miss this. The Jews were not ready to accept Jesus when he came the first time. I don't think anybody in here is going to argue with me. Satan had prepared them in advance not to recognize Jesus when he arrived. And I'm telling you that Satan is doing the very same thing right now. He is preparing us through false doctrine and deception not to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so we look at this series called What is Armageddon? Part 1 was the age of deception. Part 2, the true Israel of God in prophecy. Part 3, what is Armageddon? Today we're going to look at when is Armageddon. That's the one question we're going to answer, when is Armageddon. Now let's review a little bit of the sixth plague, which is absolutely necessary to understand and answer that question. It says, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on what? He poured it out on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings of the east. And I asked the question, how do we understand the sixth plague? I went on the internet. It's amazing how all of Christianity almost, they're looking over in Iraq, and they're even talking about the fact that the Euphrates River is already starting to dry up, which has nothing to do with prophecy, as you'll see in a second, because all their eyes are over there in the Middle East, and that's not where God's eyes are, folks. He's on the church. On the church, which is made up of everybody, including people from Iraq and from Israel and everywhere else who have taken Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So how are we to understand this? The drying up of the great river Euphrates. I'm going to tell you the answer, and then as we move through the rest of this sermon, you'll see it more clearly. And at Vespers tonight, I will expand on it so that it'll become even clearer. How do we understand it? This signifies the defeat of the enemies of God's people prior to the implementation of the death decree. Nobody's happy about that. The drying up of the great river Euphrates means the enemies of God are kaput. And the reason they're in that situation is because they passed a death decree. And so how do we understand the drying up of the great river Euphrates? The river Euphrates flowed through Babylon and made it impregnable. Cyrus came along from the east with his army, diverted the river. And when the river was diverted, he went underneath and defeated the enemy of God's people, Babylon, and Cyrus let them go back home. And now in the book of Revelation, this river is drying up again, only it isn't the literal river. It stands for all the people who support the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet. And they are now defeated in the sixth plague. They're defeated. I'll show you this in a second. So, what is the kings of the East? The kings of the East. I go on the internet. I wish I could show you some of the pictures. And they show a map, and there's Israel and Jerusalem, and they have arrows going like this. All these nations are coming to attack Israel. That's Armageddon. It isn't, folks. The kings of the East is Jesus Christ. He's coming with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and all the angels. He's sitting on His throne, and He's coming to get His people who were being threatened by a death decree passed by a group of people who, in the name of Jesus, were fighting against Him and His law. And so how do we understand the sixth plague? We understand it this way. Well, there's a second question. How can this be? How in the world did we get in this situation? Well, take a look at the very next verse. And I want to tell you this. The very next verse is not part of the sixth plague. This isn't the part of the sixth plague. This is an interlude. The sixth plague is given and it's poured out on the great river Euphrates, preparing the way for the kings of the East. Well, how in the world did we get in this situation? Here's how we did. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the and out of the mouth of the and out of the mouth of the unholy Trinity. The unholy Trinity who is gathering everybody together on their side against God's law of Ten Commandments. And therefore, we must do something about the people who refuse to be gathered with us. And I saw three unclean spirits like frog coming out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the fourth false prophet. For they are the spirits of demons performing what? Performing signs and miracles which go forth to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. That word gather also really implies unity. Join our side. You must be on our side. And to show you that we're right, we're going to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. That's how the unholy Trinity received all this support and power. They performed signs and wonders in order to gather the minds and the heart of all the people on earth. So when Jesus comes, they'll discover they were actually fighting Jesus while they thought they were fighting for Jesus. Do you believe that? That's what's happening right now. So you see, 13 and 14 are not part of the sixth plague, but they're a description of how the enemy receives so much power. In fact, check this out. First of all, the plagues indicate from the very number one, the plagues indicate that it is the probation's already closed. Probation's closed. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, in Revelation 15, it says the plagues are poured out on those who have the mark of the beast. And when the mark of the beast is given, they pass the death decree, probation closes, and the plagues are poured out. So, this is not part of the sixth plague, verse 13 and 14. This is before the close of probation. That's how we got in this position. And so, how did the woman, Babylon the Great, and the unholy Trinity become many waters? How did they do that? And by the way, I did this so that you would see the woman, Babylon the Great, and the unholy Trinity are all the same. They're all the same. They're different terms for the same power. They're all the same. And before the close of probation, and before they poured out the plagues, before God poured out the plagues, they did everything they could but signs and wonders to trick the people to join their side. And so we see, how did they do that? Take a look at Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Oh, I do have one before that. I'm sorry. I do have one. We'll go to that. You can go to that. But take a look at Revelation 13:13. Look what it says in there. It says in Revelation 13:13, the beasts that are in Revelation 13, which are the same as in Revelation 16, the dragon, the beast, the false prophet, the same that we're going to see is in chapter 17. It says, and he performed great signs and miracles, even causing fire to come down from heaven on earth in full view of men. For what purpose? To deceive those who dwell on the earth by those signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Folks, this is saying the same thing as verse 13 of chapter 16. That three spirit-like frogs coming out of the unholy Trinity, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, worked miracles to gather the people on their side. And Revelation 13 says, fire even comes down from heaven. I look at my Bible, fire came down from heaven when Solomon dedicated the temple. Fire came down from heaven when Elijah prayed. In my Bible, I see nowhere else where a heathen or anybody got fire to come down from heaven. And now we get to the book of Revelation, and the beast and the false prophet will call fire down from heaven for the purpose of deceiving the whole world. That's exactly what he did before Jesus came to the Jews. So we have to understand prophecy. So let's take a look at Revelation 17, as we said. And we'll read verse 1 through 6. How did it become many waters? How in the world did they come to their side? Look what it says here. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great whore who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth commit fornication, the inhabitants of the earth made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Folks, do you see this? The whole world. This is the whole world. This isn't just a local place. The whole world is being deceived. So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw, here it is, the woman sitting on the scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of the abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And on her head was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the world. Verse 6, And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And so do I, folks. Deceive the whole world. By the way, this was pointed out to me by Susan Beckman. I never noticed this. I kicked myself. This woman on the scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Verse 4. The woman was arrayed with purple and scarlet. And for royalty, there's one color left out. You know what color that is? Blue. Because in the Bible, blue stands for the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And they have done away with the Ten Commandments. And that's why this woman isn't arrayed with anything but purple and scarlet. Because she doesn't believe the law. She believes she has the right to change it. And false and apostate Protestantism or the false prophet accepts the doctrine. And when a Seventh-day Adventist presents it, if it's in a loving way, well, we should always only present it in a loving way. They look at you as if you're crazy. And they say, you're working your way to heaven. You guys are legalists. Man, folks, how did it become many waters? Then he said to me, verse 15, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are what? People, multitudes, nations, and tongues. There it is. The drying up of the river Euphrates is an indication that God is now setting His people free just before they go to implement the death decree. See, every law is passed, but it's passed for a particular date to go into effect. In the book of Esther, it's very obvious. For her king made a decree to kill all the Jews. Some time passed, and Esther went into him and said, I'm a Jew. What are you going to do about that? And so they passed a law countering the other law, because the law doesn't go into effect until a certain time. Probation closes when they pass the death decree. Then the plagues are poured out, which is a distraction. And when the time comes to implement, and believe me, tonight in the great controversy, I'll read it to you. They come against us around the world, wherever we are, to carry out the law that was passed to kill us because we keep the Ten Commandments and refuse to be gathered with this gathering. And that's when we are delivered. Ellen White says in The Great Controversy, we'll read it tonight, at midnight he delivers his people. Thank you, Jesus. How did we get in this situation? We got in it by miracles being performed by the unholy Trinity in order to gather the whole world. But there's a group of people who will not be gathered. And they're found in Revelation 14. And I praise God for that. I want to be one of them. Revelation 16:13. But look what it says. One, These verses, 13, 14, and 15, are not part of the sixth plague. They're before the close of probation. How did we get in this situation? You now know the answer to that. We got into it by the unholy Trinity performing miracles so astounding that everybody rallied to their side. Number D, though, they persecute us, God's people, because we won't become gathered with them. Revelation 13, 15 through 17. If we had time, we'd turn there. But do you remember what that says? It says the beast and the image to the beast, which is the beast and the false prophet, pass a law that if you don't follow their way, you'll first economic boycott and then you'll be killed. That's what it says in Revelation 13. Revelation 13. So, we will not be gathered with them. That's why they passed the death decree. They have no alternative. They can't change our minds. We're obstinate. I hope we're obstinate. Lord, I want to be obstinate for you. And by the way, remember, don't get the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet are doing this in the name of Jesus. So how do we avoid being gathered? And so the advice is given to us in the Bible. How do we avoid being gathered? And that would be verse 15 of chapter 16 that said, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. See, this is not part of the sixth plague. This is counsel given to us before we even get to the first plague. 13, 14, and 15 are an interlude between the sixth plague and the seventh plague. By the way, you want to know something? Take your Bible out, and in the seals, you will find that between the sixth seal and the seventh seal is an interlude. In other words, when I say interlude, there's an interruption. And there's some verbiage that takes place explaining more of what will be before the seventh seal comes. And guess what in the trumpets? In the sixth trumpet, when it's over, there's an interlude before the seventh trumpet. Well, here in the plagues, after the sixth plague, there's an interlude. And that interlude, an interruption, is three verses telling us how in the world Babylon received so much support that it was called many waters by signs and miracles to deceive the whole world. Because Jesus is coming very soon and I don't want anybody to be ready for that. How can I show hated Jesus how much I hate him? He won't let me into heaven so I can punch him in the nose. So I'm going to take out his children. Hey folks, that's why I want you to bring your children here to Thomas's meetings. Why? Because Satan is trying to take out your children. And we've got to protect them. And this doctrine that's being taught in the Christian churches is preparing everybody not to recognize Christ's second coming. And so it says, I'm coming as a thief, meaning you do not know when I'm coming. That's what it means. It's not how he's coming, it's when he's coming. And so we're told this, blessed is he who watches. Now, watches is a verb in the Greek, and this happens to be a present participle. And a present participle means that it's conveying an action by the subject that must be repeated and continuous. Amen? So we must keep watching. Keep watching. No stop to it. Got to stay awake. How do you do that? You come to church. How do you do that? You come to prayer meeting. How do you do that? You stay for skip lunch and pray Sabbath. You bring your kids to Pathfinders. You bring them to adventures. You send them to the church school. Why? We're protecting their minds from the deception that's prevalent all around us. We must keep watching, and guess what? It says, he who watches, that's a present participle, and get this, keeps his garment. And the word keeps is a verb in the Greek. And guess what it is? It's a present participle. So folks, the only understanding I have is from Zechariah and some other places where it says that Jesus gives us the robe of His righteousness. And the way we keep it is by we continue to surrender to God every day. So you must avail yourself, keep watching to every opportunity to learn more about the Bible and fellowship together as a community of saints in the particular beliefs we have. And you must keep your garments by spending time with Jesus every morning. Paul said, I die daily. Present participle, present participle. Well, it says, lest he walk naked. And guess what? Walk is a Greek verb. And it happens to be a present subjunctive active. And it just so happens that present subjunctive actives are continuous action. If you do not keep watching, if you do not watch and keep your garments, you will walk around naked all the time. And then it says, and they see is a Greek verb that's a present subjunctive active also that's continuous. My God does not want me to be seen naked or my shame to show. His robe of righteousness is to cover my sinfulness. In fact, I made a great mistake in saying that. His robe doesn't cover our sinfulness, but His generosity forces us to want to give up our sinfulness for the sake of keeping our robes so that we will not be deceived when He comes a second time. Folks, if I didn't believe He's coming really, really, really soon, this series of sermons could wait. They can't wait. Not only that, we stream live. We love all the people who follow. We want the evangelicals. We want the other churches to hear this. We want them to stop and think what they're believing and teaching. That Armageddon is a war over in Israel. It has nothing to do with Israel. The River Euphrates is the support that Babylon, our enemy of God's people, receives by performing miracles and signs. And at the sixth plague, God delivers us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, it says here, In the last verse, 16, and they gathered them together into a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. By the way, next week is where is Armageddon, okay? Today is what? Not what. When is Armageddon? So now let's answer that question. When is Armageddon? Let's take a look at the seventh plague. Take a look at Revelation 16, but we'll move from verse 16 to 17 now. Listen carefully, and you tell me what immediately follows the drying up of the River Euphrates. And I mean that. Immediately follows the drying up of the River Euphrates. And remember, I said to you, the drying up indicates that God stood up and said, that's it, they're going to implement it, I'm now going to deliver them. Even though probation had already closed before the first plague was poured out. I'll even tell you why there's a delay, but not now. Then the seventh angel poured out her bowl into the air, and the loud voice came from the temple of heaven, from the throne of God, saying, "It is done." Amen. Man, I just got chills. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake such as mighty and a great earthquake as has never occurred since men were on earth. Now the great city was divided into three. Folks, the great city is what? Spiritual Babylon, right? The dragon, the beast, and the false prophet gathered them together in unity. But when the river Euphrates dries up and the seventh plague comes, it is no longer one. It is back to three. They are now disunified. They have now lost their power. They're no longer in unity. There's a great earthquake such as never was. And the great city was broken into three. And notice also the cities of the nations fell. All the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine and the fierceness of His wrath. Then every island fled away, and all the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. What does that describe? What does that describe? The second coming of Jesus Christ. It is done. And again tonight, I'll show you in great controversy, it says at that very moment when they come to kill us, suddenly a rainbow breaks out. And then, yes, praise the Lord, and surrounds all the praying saints who are standing there, and all the enemy is around with every kind of weapon that is invented by man. And just before they go to use it, it is done. And the rainbow encircles them, and they suddenly realize they're wrong, and they turn on one another, and they run to the rocks and mountains, which are, by the way, it says every island, every mountain was moved. They're falling everywhere because of the coming of Jesus Christ. And they run to those mountains and they say, "Fall on me and kill me." Who can stand in the presence of God? And there's a group, little groups all around the world of praying saints who have a circle of the rainbow around them, which makes them stop in their tracks and realize they were wrong. And the river Euphrates dries up. The enemies of God no longer have support or protection. And they run and hide. In fact, this happened in the Old Testament time in one of the battles that the enemy killed each other. And she says they turn on the false preachers who taught them the wrong thing. And so there it is, the seventh plague, folks. The great river Euphrates indicates that the power over us is broken. And God now comes, Jesus now comes, and He delivers us. And He releases us, the kings from the east, release us from the bondage that we find ourselves in by standing firm for the law of God when everybody else forsook it, just as when Cyrus came and diverted the river Euphrates, marched his army underneath the wall and defeated Babylon basically without a shot. What a God we have, folks. And so, the world is receiving a bill of goods, and they're swallowing it, and they are friends of ours, and they are sons and daughters of God. What are we going to do about it? We're going to hold an evangelistic meeting for Spanish. We're going to hold an evangelistic in English. And we're going to hold an evangelistic meeting for children. Yeah. Because we have a mission. And so, folks, two more things. Now we need to know, where is Armageddon? And number two, who is the true man of sin? Let us pray. Father, I thank you that you have included us in a special group of people who are being informed, even in a feeble way by me, that there's more to the reason for our existence and membership in this church or friendship in this church than we thought. And Lord, there are people you desperately love and died for who will be lost because of false doctrine. We want to assist you in setting them free as you set us free. Let no one here be scared, but to understand that you made it plain in the Bible so that we won't be surprised and we can be about our work and we'll let you carry out the details. So bless our congregation that we join hands in hands with you, Lord. And we join hands in hand together. There are people in the sanctuary hurting, Lord. They need our support. They need our encouragement. That we would draw together, Father, under the guidance of the Spirit and support each other so we can find others in this area who are looking for the true and real Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed to this end in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand with me and we're going to sing a glory song. Hymn number 435. Oh, that will be glory for me. Amen. Labors and trials are o'er. When all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me. When by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. In Thy face I shall look on His face. That will be glory for me. Friend will be there, I know, long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Savior I know will through the ages be glory for me. And it will. That will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by His grace I shall look on His face, that shall be glory, be glory for me. Shall we pray? I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Lord, may this be us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.